Coming up on today's show, we're going to go over some of the latest Disney news and rumors. That's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode 313 for Friday, May the 7th. 2021. My name is Adam, and I'm your host this week, and I am joined today by a John.
Hello, everyone.
I thought there would be some reference to an old attraction that doesn't exist anymore.
There usually is, but I was trying to come up with one last minute, and it just wasn't coming, so that's just... Yeah. Sorry if I disappointed anyone today.
All right. And, of course, we're also joined by Jason.
May the 7th be with you.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, I didn't get that right. Cinco de... No, wait.
Yeah,
well... There's just... What is... We just got to keep the holidays running, you know? And episode 313 is a palindrome, too. So, you know, we won't have another one of those for another 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Got it. We're a little slow.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, just 10 episodes is not going to be... Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will.
Yeah. I can do that math, you know. I will say, while we're recording, there were a couple of runs going on. So we'll provide those updates. We've got Kenny the Pirate out on the field, as well as How to Mouse, Mike Zarnowski. He did pretty well. He said... 37 rides, so not bad.
Yeah. So we got a plethora of news this week. We got a lot of Star Wars news. We got a lot of cruise line news. We got a lot of Disneyland news since it opened for the first time in forever.
It was a big news week, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we've got lots to cover, but I don't know that we need to go into the details of everything, but we'll try to cast a wide net here and see what we can catch. But we'll start with Disneyland since it first opened this past week. I think on the day that we released last week's episode, wasn't it?
Disneyland. Friday? That's exciting, isn't it? That's very exciting.
Yeah. But now it's been a week and we can do a quick recap of what's happened. One thing that's changed because of something to do, I think, with California's restrictions is that Rise of the Resistance has to be shortened. So they're skipping the first pre-show briefing.
Just the first one?
I believe so, yeah. I believe it's the one with Rey that they're skipping. And you're going straight to the show.
That one's more skippable than the other one.
Right, yeah.
Clearly. It is more skippable, but you're still cutting out on the experience. I mean, yeah. You've heard me say I think the pre-shows in some ways are better than the actual ride.
Yeah. I think California's restrictions are limiting indoor activities to 15 minutes. So I guess with both pre-shows, even though you go outside between, I guess that doesn't really count. I don't know. It's only for a few seconds.
It's interesting that they didn't cut the interrogation scene, you know?
Well, what happens if the ride is delayed a little bit and you get stuck in there? Because sometimes you're in that interrogation room for a few minutes. Or if they're like on a timer, like, oh, everybody's got to get off now.
I don't know.
I think the reason being is how can you skip the interrogation room?
And just leave the door open, go straight onto the ride.
You just walk right in.
So that's like I said, that just totally ruins that.
Yeah.
They tried to do it with ruining it as, you know, as little as possible.
Yeah. So skipping the first one makes sense, like you said, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really skip the transport or else it doesn't make sense. Is it more reliable? That's all I really want to know.
I don't know, but what's funny is I saw some video of people riding the Disneyland one. Batu West, as people call it.
Batu West.
And the first video I saw of someone riding it, both of the turret guns and the gun room, as we call it, the laser cannons, whatever you want to call it, they were both working. But then I saw another one where it wasn't working, the second one. So I don't know if they both have issues, like the ride system itself just has issues, or...
It's that second gun.
Yeah, whatever it is, the second one has issues. But I did see a video on opening day of last week where it was working, but then I saw another one a few days ago where it wasn't, so.
Well, I mean, I would hope the first day that it's operating, they could have everything working.
Yeah. But it seems like every time we've been on the one on Batu East, that it hasn't been working. So I think they've just given up on it in Florida. They're just like, we're not doing this. It's just too much trouble, whatever, for whatever reason.
So I think the guns are having trouble with synchrony.
I guess. I don't know. Like I said last week, it's the new Yeti.
Maybe it's something with the term guns, because Guns N' Roses had the same problem.
Mm. Okay. So if they put a strobe light on it, we know they're never going to fix it.
So we'll see. Right. They just start, if you just had the gun sitting there in the middle with a flashing strobe light on it. Someone should do that for a joke. You know, make a video that has witches going. Anyway.
That would be funny. But speaking of cutting down on the experience, or part of the experience, have you seen the secret entrance, as they call it, to Haunted Mansion, where you skip the elevator at Disneyland, the stretching room?
What do you mean? Wait, hold. You skip the elevator?
Yeah, I saw this. They sort of like made a different path.
Yeah, it's essentially a cast member entrance that they very shoddily decorated to make it look kind of like it belongs in the Haunted Mansion. But then you end up below the elevator area, but to the loading area. So it's kind of neat. It's in the graveyard area where you enter.
So interrogation room, okay. Stretching room, bad. Even though there's more room in the stretching room.
They are still using the stretching room, but they're also using this
two paths.
Overflow. Okay,
right. My bad. Essentially, it's a secondary to help with
it's an crowd alternative.
Flow.
Yeah, I got an alternative. Try to keep things moving.
Right. But you do have to walk downstairs, so if there's any mobility issues or anything like that, you wouldn't be able to use this secondary entrance. But kind of neat. I just thought that was something cool that they're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I would love to take that entrance, but I can't get into Disneyland right now.
Yeah, but you got to go I should say this year. You got to go last time it was open.
I did. I didn't get to ride Haunted Mansion, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was still closed.
Right. Sorry, folks. The mansion's closed.
The ghost out front should have told you. Speaking of Disneyland, though, let's keep on that. There's another one I did want to mention. It's kind of a two-parter story, but unrelated. But
I see.
The president of Disneyland did announce...
Ken Potrock.
Yeah, Ken Potrock announced he announced that Jungle Cruise is going to open there summer 2021. So do you think that Disney Worlds will be ready by summer? I don't think so, right? All the changes they're going to do.
I don't know. I mean, can they do it while they're keeping it open? I mean, it'd be really cool to see it. That's the one thing from our trip we didn't get to do. Let's ride the Jungle Cruise.
Right. We got in line briefly for it, and then it was like, it's too long. We didn't want to wait for it.
We still got a taste of it from the Skipper Canteen, though.
Yeah, we did. It does make sense to do both, right? It kind of pairs together. Yeah. But, yeah.
So you should try to schedule your Skipper Canteen around your Jungle Cruise ride?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before or after, I wonder, which would be better.
Do Jungle Cruise first, I think.
Right. Able to join the walk-up as we were getting in line, we probably would have gotten off the ride just in time for a table to be ready. But we were on Tom Sawyer Island at the time, so.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to soak that in.
But anyway, I guess because it's closed, they can open it sooner because they're probably working on it much more diligently. I imagine the Disney World one will probably, maybe by October, be done, you think?
That would make sense.
Yeah. October 1? I think they'll have it ready by then.
Didn't they originally say it was not going to be open, I think, in October? I thought I saw that somewhere. Or was that a different attraction?
Yeah, but it seems like they're going to just do it as the ride is running. They're not even going to close it at all.
Well, it's a lot easier to take stuff out while the ride is still operating, you know, because you can do, especially when it's just one animatronic, you can do that overnight.
And yeah, they did say it might go down, didn't they? I think they did say that. I'll have to go
there
back.
There was talk about it being down for October. Well, and see, that what they plan on doing with that space seems pretty extensive. I don't think that's something they could do in a night by any means. So maybe they can do it in pieces and still make it look decent. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, time will tell on that. But Ken Potrock also stated that the Disneyland annual pass holder membership program, he said, will launch by the end of 2021. So the keyword there, membership, is this going to be something different? What do we think about that? What are we going to speculate?
I think it's going to be different. I just don't know what it's going to be at this point.
There's going to be 37 tiers of membership.
Yeah. Would you ever do the Coast to Coast if they offer it again?
Yeah, especially if I thought that I could do the Coast to Coast Challenge at some point. That's, you know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I would never say never, but I don't see myself being in that position to do so in the near future.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd really have to go at least a couple of times out there to make it worth it, I think.
I mean, here's the deal. In my old job, there would have been a possibility
to travel.
To travel more often. You know, I went to a lot of military sites, and so San Diego is a hot Navy area.
That's when you went last year.
Yeah, when I went to a Navy thing. If I had gotten, like, a contract back at my old job with the Navy that made me go to San Diego regularly, I totally would have considered it, because I would just be like, then I would just do my day, drive an hour, hour and a half north after my work day, and just go close the night out at probably just stay up there at Disneyland.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Similar to what I did with my training in Disney World.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, any other brief? I know there was this story about the Snow White attraction.
Yeah.
Did you want to go there? Because I thought it was kind of pointless.
It's stupid.
I watched the video and I
thought it was amazing what they did, what they changed to it. Yeah, they added some projections, but it made it look good.
I think that the criticisms are picky. Bunk. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb, I think. I don't think it'll...
You obviously have never read the story or read a fairy tale in your life, if you are concerned about that.
If anybody wants to complain about a ride at Disneyland, it's one of my favorites. Just go to Mr. Toad's. He goes to literal hell. Okay? Right.
Yeah.
He likes drunk driving to hell.
So. Yeah, you get hit by a train after basically drunk driving. Yeah,
Jason,
probably.
That's the last thing we need, is you to turn people onto Toad now.
No, okay. But anyway, I think...
Send your hate mail directly to Jason.
All right. Well, Disneyland's open. We're very... very happy that it's open again. Hopefully we can go at some point in the future, the near future. But
at some point.
I wouldn't mind taking a nice podcast trip out there. You know?
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? That'd be really fun.
Yeah. That would be nice to be able to do at some point.
All right, well, shifting gears from Disneyland, let's talk about the Disney Cruise Line news that came out.
There was some news about the Disney Cruise Line?
Yeah.
You mean they're going to cruise again?
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah.
In the near future.
Hopefully very soon.
They did say they're going to cruise out of UK this year, few months.
Right. Yeah, those cruise to nowheres is what I always called them.
Yeah. And isn't there some CDC guidance finally out about potential cruising? I think they mentioned mid-July as the possibility.
Disney's already canceled it much further out, but I mean, it's pretty stringent, and you basically can't get off the ship ever.
Well, right now, Disney has not canceled the Dream and the Fantasy and the Magic, Wonder? It was one of the two. Those three are still just canceled through June.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, there is still some availability for July, I think. At the moment, but we'll see if this holds up.
They're leaving the possibility open.
Yeah. So that could happen. We don't know. Maybe it will. And John, I know you were wanting to reschedule for the Wish, which is what the big news event of the week was. There was a big live stream about the Disney Wish and the reveal of a lot of the new stuff about it. So does this excite you? Are you really wanting to switch now to that, or... how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to actually get a glimpse inside and kind of see what they're going to do. And then seeing the style that they did the rooms, it kind of reminds me of it being almost like, I guess, a princess room in a way, the way that they showed that. They call them storybook, which I guess is kind of the same thing. The ones that they gave pictures of, one of them actually has a mural of Cinderella, the story of Cinderella in the back behind the bed. I don't know how they're going to do it, because I think they're going to feature different stories, probably Princess, because I've seen another one that had obviously Rapunzel behind the bed. So I don't know if they're going to randomly do the rooms in, you know, certain ones. I see one here that's Ariel themed. And of course, they have the concierge experience like this. They, for their first new royal suites, they actually have the first two-story suites on a ship.
I'm sure those aren't going to be expensive at all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they come with a Homer?
Do they come with a Homer? The only thing that they say the ship comes with is an Ashley, apparently.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The cruise director. I guess she's going to be the cruise director on the maiden voyage. So I can only assume that that's why they did it that way.
Now, is Minnie Mouse, is this her first ship that she's captain of?
Yeah, they don't, well, every other one only has, each one has a different captain.
Right, so, but is this Minnie's first?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, she's featured in the fantasy, I think, as like the statue inside, but she's not considered the captain.
But I know they, I remember seeing on the live stream that she was the captain of this one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the Aquamouse slide. Mm-hmm. That looks really cool, actually.
It does. Yeah. I really hope there's more to it than what they showed, though, because the first section of it with it had like screens on each side, and it's just a lift hill almost. Hopefully there's a little more to it than that. That's what it made it look like.
Well, supposedly there's a whole new cartoon short around this attraction, right, if you want to call it that, or slide. But
so it's like the Aqueduct meets Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That's what it's kind of.
Yeah. That's what it looks like to me.
I thought.
Yeah. I mean, can we just comment for a moment about how awkward Bob Chapek was in that video?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It looks like he spent too long in the tanning bed, for one.
Well,
he just isn't good at reading a teleprompter either.
I got to be honest, it's better than a lot of the stuff I've seen him do in the past. I think he's improving slightly. But,
okay, well, improving.
But then they put him right next to Josh Tomorrow, where it was like, right, hey, now over to you, Josh. And he's like, and it's like, I'm going to run this company one day.
Yeah, hopefully sooner than later. Yeah, mm-hmm. It just felt like as soon as they switched to him, it was just like, breath of fresh air. It's like, this guy should be CEO. But anyway.
So just to talk about it a little bit more, one of the shows that they're going to bring on to the boat, excuse me, the ship. Sorry, such a pretty boat. Ship.
Right. Jinx.
Couldn't help.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Aladdin show that they've actually had on the Fantasy before, and they kind of took it away. It was also the same show that you could see out at Disney's California Adventure at one time. But they're bringing it back to the Wish, and I can only assume that's because they didn't really, because of COVID, they didn't really have time to do something all new, like, is, you know, I'm sure they have some new shows, which they didn't give any details on the other two. But I think one of the reasons why for the third one they brought back an old one was because they didn't really have the time to put into putting a new third show, which is fine with me, though, because the Aladdin show, I saw it in California and I saw it on the cruise ship, and they're different experience a little bit on the cruise ship because of the settings. Obviously, you can't do some of the same things at sea as you can on land.
Right.
But it's always been an enjoyable show. The genie's always hilarious. I mean, he does do the modern jokes usually in there,
right,
that he uses. I've always enjoyed this show, the times that I've seen it. So
yeah,
I'm fine with it being one of the shows.
I was excited to see the 1923 restaurant, too. I thought that looked like a cool...
Yeah, yeah. So it's part of the rotational dining, from what I understood, along with, let's see, what was the other one? The Marvel.
Mm. Wasn't there a Frozen one?
And a Frozen dinner show. Yeah.
That looked pretty cool, too.
Now, see, the Frozen dinner show looked similar to some of the shows that they do on the older ships now, the Magic and the Wonder, which I have not sailed on. They don't have something like that on the Dream and the Fantasy. The Dream and the Fantasy, their dining experiences are good. I mean, they have one in particular on the longer cruises with the, you know, Magic of Animation, I believe it's what they call it, in the second night for Animator's Palette, which is a really good experience, but nothing that's got characters in the middle of the room like this is. And it features Elsa, Anna, Olaf, and Kristoff.
Yeah, so it looks cool. Are you excited to change your sailing to the Wish now? Is that what you
want to
do?
I kind of want to, just for the fact that it's new, and I don't know, you know, with them sailing in summer, even if I were to get on this one. See, the thing is, I'm still silver castaway. I'm one sailing away from being gold, which really only buys me another day, I think it is, than what I get with silver.
That's probably a huge difference, though, isn't it?
I bet the two stories will be sold out by the time you get in. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, I will be shocked if it is sold out by then, truthfully. I feel like that's going to be something special. Somebody's going to have something special for that first voyage. I wonder how often they upgrade to those rooms on all the ships just to fill the ship up. I just wonder how often they do that. But anyway, because from experience on the other ships, it's one of the last things to go are the concierge rooms. I can't imagine why.
Right. Price, maybe?
It's not that they're expensive or anything.
No.
Or those suites, excuse me, those royal suites, and whichever ship you're on, that whatever they decide to name that suite. Yeah, depending on the ship you're on. So
The boat you're on?
The ship.
Such a pretty boat. Ship.
Yes.
Again.
We're going to do it again. We're just going to run out of the ground. The Marvel characters that they mentioned being on there were kind of, I guess, diverse and not your typical. I mean, they mentioned Spider-Man, of course, which was interesting. And they mentioned Black Panther and Ant-Man and Wasp were the ones they mentioned. Which, when you think of Marvel, they're not the ones you necessarily think, except for Spider-Man, obviously the classic. You know, he's the classic character they mentioned. But, you know, with Marvel, you usually think of some of the, over the years, you think of Iron Man and Thor and Hulk, you know, stuff like that. So, I think they were trying to be a little more diverse, or maybe using their more newer, the ones that they've had the newer films with, or latest films with, here to feature. So that would be interesting in itself, I think.
Yeah. Alrighty. Is there a challenge update that we need to do, or anything?
No, I think we're actually done. I don't think they've tallied the scores yet. I think actually How to Mouse was slightly short of 700 points. I think that Kenny the Pirate was a little bit lower.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a new high score for either of them.
By the way, for those that might want to know, bookings for The Wish for Everyone officially opens on May the 27th.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Should have mentioned that.
So you've already booked?
No.
Yeah. Got it.
The earliest I think I saw was for the Platinum and the Concierge, and I think that's like the 18th, 17th, somewhere in that range. I will not be in that group either.
Right.
And not only that, they divided Platinum into like groups. Like if you've been Platinum for like, if you have like 25 plus sailings, you get first crack.
Well.
Which seems...
Right. Who is that? Like Pete? That's about it.
Yeah, I'm going to say Pete and his crew.
On the cruise I took, there was somebody with a posting on their door, which was the listing of every Disney cruise they had, and it was probably like 100 long. It was a lot.
Yeah, there's always those out there, that's for sure.
They've done it since 1998.
I guess so. Every year or more. Multiple times a year, probably.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well... Yeah.
You know, we almost did one back in the day. Almost.
What do you mean?
With one of the original ships. Like my family.
Yeah. Like back in 98? Discussing.
Well, not 98, but it was in the early 2000s.
Oh, right. Okay.
Almost did a Disney one.
One of the first of the others.
Yeah. It was still the classic ships at that point in time.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You'd be gold by now if you did.
Yeah, I know, right? I'd be golden.
Golden.
I probably would have taken more sailings in between if I'd done it back then, too. So.
Yeah.
I'd probably be platinum by now.
Oh well, and DVC. You'd be DVC for 20 years by now.
It'd be a lot of things. I probably actually, going back to all that, if I'd have done all this, I probably would have just lived there. But
yeah,
que sera, sera.
All right, well, moving down to Walt Disney World now, there's a few new things that will be changing by the next time we go. Which will be in just a few weeks now, be our next trip.
We're such addicts. We're going right back.
Well, I mean, it was a few weeks in between, but yeah, it's not that.
Well, the family was sad. They want to go. That's what we're
doing. As we were driving back, the family's like, well, we want to go. So we ended up booking before we even got back from the last one. But anyway.
Have we mentioned on the podcast the room we booked?
No, I don't think we gave detail yet on that, but we'll save that.
Let's just say that we've rented.
Okay, yes. We're going to be staying DVC this time. We'll just say that. But whenever we do go back, as long as it's after May 16th, sorry, there will no longer be temperature checks at the Walt Disney World theme parks. Universal's also doing this, of course.
That's always been security theater. I mean, like, right. How many people have they turned away from the temperature check booth? Those things aren't very accurate. Yeah. And you'd have to show up with, like, a massive fever. And how many people are just being that dumb?
Right. If you have a temperature of actually, like, 104, are you able to even walk into the park at that point?
Well, it really tells you very little because there's a significant number of people that never presented with a fever or even had it during, while having the virus itself. So,
but I mean, there is still the thing that, okay, if you did have a fever, again, I've never seen anybody like turned away, but I'm sure that some people have been, right? I mean, hopefully, I don't know, but it's an unnecessary thing at this point, I think. And it doesn't really slow you down that much though.
And the thing is, in the middle of, say, July or August, depending on how long you've been walking or if you've had, like, a hat on your head or something at some point.
You could fry an egg on your forehead.
Yeah, I mean, you could be 103 degrees and be fine.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm only slightly exaggerating.
Anyway, so this is ending. And another kind of related story was that Florida in particular, but Orange County has also reduced the physical distancing guideline to 3 feet, which has kind of been the CDC guidance for a while. Like, they've talked about 3 feet probably a couple of months ago, if I remember right, maybe a month ago. But I know Universal, I saw that they were shortening their distance, but I haven't seen anything official that Disney's doing this yet. But if they do, obviously that would open the door for opening capacity a little bit more than 35%.
I thought that there was something that just came out that said that Disney was making that change.
I saw that Universal was, but I didn't know. I didn't see anything official in Disney unless I missed it. Did I miss Disney? Anyway.
No, they haven't released that they're going to change it.
I know Universal said it.
They actually started removing their markers several days ago. They're 6 feet ones.
Right.
They didn't know that's what it was going to be at the time. But
what do you think about 3 feet? Because most people,
by the time you crowd a party on a 3 feet marker, you're just in a normal line.
That's what I was going to say. It's like even the 6 feet markers, sometimes we were crowded against people who weren't really paying attention. Or if you got a group of four or five people, you're on a marker and just your body width is enough to close that gap of 6 feet. So 3 feet doesn't seem like why even bother putting markers down at that point.
And are they going to increase capacity when they do this?
Yeah, that's what everyone's wondering is, are we going to get to 50% at this point if we shorten the distance?
Well, you'll have shorter lines, so you'll have more room.
Right, which means you'll have more capacity, which means you won't have shorter lines after that. I don't know. But yeah,
and then fast pass returns or whatever they're going to replace it with. And then,
right. Yeah, at one point do they return fast pass? Is it when they hit 50%? Are they going
to? If they increase capacity anymore, they need to turn on fast pass.
I would think so.
I can't see them doing it until just like everything else, October.
We shall see. All right, but they haven't said anything official as of right now, so we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. And even then, it's going to be not fast pass anymore. It's going to be the genie.
Right.
Whatever they're going to do with the genie. Right.
The genie will grant you a fast pass for Small World. Like,
you know, if Robin Williams was still alive and he had voiced that, I would actually go along with that. That would actually be pretty cool. I could just hear how he would come up with this stuff.
That would be awesome. Yeah, he would go off script, of course. He'd go off script. So another thing that is coming back soon at Walt Disney World is more character dining restaurants. Chef Mickey's Dinner, Cape May Cafe, and Tusker House are going to be returning over the next couple of weeks. Chef Mickey's May 16th, Cape May Cafe on the 18th, and Tusker House, I don't remember seeing a specific date for that one, but it should be probably along the same lines. And the new way that they're doing character meals, would you pay the same price for that versus, you know, not being able to get up close.
It does say specifically Chef Mickey's dinner.
Right, because it's already open for breakfast right now, yeah. Mm.
Is it character breakfast, though, right now?
I don't remember. I think it is. I think it is, okay. Yes. I
okay.
believe it is.
Well, maybe it is. Okay.
I believe it is.
I have done all three of these.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have too, actually. Yeah, I've done all three of these as well.
They were all good. I mean, they were all... all of mine were breakfast.
Yeah. Tusker House has the best food overall, but I think Chef Mickey's has the best character, but anyway.
I tell you what's really good trick with Tusker House, if you can still do it, you used to cut anyway, is you have the late breakfast, and you actually can get the breakfast food, and they'll change over to the lunch at Tusker House while you're still there.
Right.
You get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
On that buffet, so.
I just can't eat that much food anymore. Like,
I don't either, so it's not really worth it. I would have to get, like, two small plates if I was going to take advantage of that.
If I was in my 20s, I would be all over that. But, yeah, it's not worth the price for me anymore, Tusker House. But, yeah, Cape May Cafe, I think, is actually the surprise one that's quite good because it's usually less crowded. I mean, again, this is pre-COVID. It was usually less crowded, and you got really good character interaction because it was less crowded. And the food was...
Yeah, I think it felt less crowded because of the space. It's a pretty big restaurant.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And the food was different to me than your typical... It had a few extra things that weren't your typical breakfast buffet. But anyway, I liked it a lot, actually. So, yeah, are we excited? Are we going to book some character meals?
Are
ready to book?
I'm not a big Chef's Mickey. If I'm going to be at Animal Kingdom, I'm going to eat Satouli. So maybe Cape May.
Have you ever done Tusker House, Jason?
I have.
You have? Okay. I was just curious. Breakfast or lunch or dinner?
Dinner.
Dinner? Okay.
I did lunch. You said you did the breakfast, right, John?
I did. I mean, for the most part, I mean, breakfast food is breakfast food in Disney World. I mean, the quality is the only thing that's probably going to change. But as far as what you get, I mean, you get some things that are a little more exotic at a place like Tusker House than you would at, say, Chef Mickey's. So, for breakfast. But yeah.
Well, speaking of Chef Mickey's, we're going to have to get Chef Mickey's, apparently, if we want to park, because we won't be able to ride the wave starting in July, because the wave is going to be under refurbishment.
The wave of the Incredibles? What are they changing?
It's going to be the Incredible Wave.
Yeah. It's rumored that it's going to get an Incredibles makeover, but it's rumor. So we'll see.
Jason already refers to it as the Incredible Wave, I think. Mm-hmm. It's his favorite place.
Yeah, so apparently July 15th, it is closing for refurbishment, and there's no particular reopening date provided as of now, but if we're going post-July 15th, what are you going to do? Are you going to have to go to Grand Floridian Cafe?
Been landing these days, is Grand Floridian every time.
It's a much longer walk, though, so if you're considering a challenge, what are you going to do? You're going to have to get Chef Mickey's now that they have dinner again?
See, and Chef Mickey's will be hard to get. That's the thing. Wave wasn't hard to get.
Get a
I guess I just have to book the Contemporary. That's just what I'm going to have to do.
Right. You're just going to have to get a room there.
You get like a California Grill, it's like, 9 o'clock at night, and you show up at 7 or something in the morning. You're like, I'm here for my reservation.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I've showed up many hours. I've showed up a long time before a reservation, and they still let me in, so.
That long, though?
I don't know if it's that long, but. I've shown up 5 or 6 hours ahead of time, and they've still let me in. So, anyway, but yeah, that's just had to throw that in there for all the challenge folks. That what are we gonna do post July 15th? You know, you have to find. You'll have to hope that you can get California Grill or Chef Mickey's,
or just stay at the Contemporary,
which is easier said than done.
It might be easier to get a room at the Contemporary.
Was half the room still on refurb, you won't be able to get a room. It's Contemporary.
I'm going to say, I'm here to work on the Incredibles.
Yeah, right. All right, so let's move to the Star Wars news, since this week was May the 4th, Be With You, and Revenge of the 5th.
How far do we take this? I guess Star Wars is just the month of May.
Yeah. So do you want to start with the lightsaber, or should we save that for the last?
Sure.
The lightsaber.
So Disney shared the video of the lightsaber that I think we heard about a few weeks ago with Josh Damaro talking about it. The video looks really cool, but I think amongst the Star Wars folks that I've seen that are popular online, I should say, they were a little underwhelmed with this only because it doesn't retract at all that they showed. I mean, apparently they thought if it did retract, they would have shown it on the video. So it apparently just opens by itself and it doesn't retract by itself.
I don't know. I feel like it could be possibly something that does both. And here's, I mean, I saw an explanation of someone who dug into it.
Yeah.
They were talking about, you know, those similar to a measuring tape.
Right.
You know how those go?
We talked about this on the show a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. So similar to that, having those on both sides, right?
Right.
But, you know, having two, I guess, halves making a hole, like making the, you know, make it cylindrical coming together and shooting out at the same time, they could technically retract in the same manner. I haven't ruled out the possibility that they will retract. I kind of think that they're going to be able to do that.
I think that's what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple other things. One, the hilt, a lot of people are talking online, is like double the size of what a normal lightsaber hilt would look like. Because she's holding it with both hands.
Right.
And it's like gigantic. It is big.
And it's because of the action that they're going to have to do to get it to...
Right. So it is probably maybe close to double the size of a normal lightsaber hilt. They did a good job of trying to make it not look so big. But the other thing is, am I wrong on the video? Does it look kind of wobbly? Or is maybe the actor... of Rey in this, maybe she's not holding it steady, but it, to me, it looks like the lightsaber part, it just doesn't, it looks kind of wobbly. Doesn't it wobble in the video? Am I wrong on that?
I didn't examine it that close. I don't recall seeing the wobble.
But anyway, it still looks really cool, I gotta say. You know, I had the old kind from episode one, I think Qui-Gon's lightsaber, that you kind of like flick it out and it opens, but it's obvious that it's tapered, you know, it's obvious. This one, it looks really cool, I gotta say. Even if it is tapered, or if it's like the measuring tape thing, whatever they're doing, it looks really good. So I gotta give credit on that. It looks really cool.
See, I want a lightsaber in which the lighting is going to be similar to Obi-Wan from A New Hope. Flickers. I want one of those.
Right. I mean, it looks really old and white lightsaber instead of blue.
Yeah, but it kind of, you know, it was almost like it flickered at times too.
Right.
You know? I always assumed it's because his lightsaber was just as old as he was. So maybe it needed some work done to it. I don't know.
Do you think they'll ever sell these though? I think this is probably an early prototype of something they made that works, but it's
The characters are going to use them. They're not going to sell these.
Yeah. I mean, I think their intention is if they can make something that is sellable, that they'll sell it. But until then, I think this is just going to be for display for characters to use on the Star Cruiser. It looks... Basically, they use this as a selling point to, hey, book a cruise on the Star Cruiser.
Yeah. You know, the more I look at some of the stuff they're going to do in that, I might be willing to bite on that.
Yeah. Depending on the price point.
Yeah, I'm going to say I probably should start putting money aside now.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely should. So the other news was they delayed that until 2022, but they haven't set a sale date yet.
For this,
whatever you want to call it. Would it be sale or would it be flight date? What do you call it?
I don't know.
a Star Cruise date?
I don't know what to call anything concerning this right now.
Sure.
But, yeah, like I said, one of the things that would be pretty neat about the hotel that I've obviously forgotten about because it's been so long since it's been announced was the experience that was going to be similar to the orb that Luke was training with.
Yeah. Right,
the lightsaber. So that would be really cool to do.
Well, that's why I was wondering, are they going to try to have, at least for the cruise, a functioning lightsaber like this for guests to use it just for the cruise, potentially, not to buy, but to at least use for the cruise one of these type of lightsabers?
Do you mean kind of like in what I was just talking about?
Yeah.
That type of
stuff? Like for the lightsaber training,
I think that'd be two different things because the training, I think, is going to be more CGI. So they're going to have to do something different. I don't think it's going to be the same saber.
Wouldn't it be like the same technology as like Duck Hunt for the NES?
No, not necessarily. I mean,
yeah.
There was that one game at Disney Quest that was a virtual reality, which Daniel and I played. It was called Ride the Comics, that in which you had a basically a hilt that you held in your hand. You had to put both hands on it for the inside your virtual reality headset for the sword to come up. That was pretty neat. That was way back then, though. I'm sure they'll take that to like the 100th level.
Right. Well, my point is, I doubt they're going to shoot actual lasers at you. So well, I think you would just point it and dodge the or deflect the lasers. Anyway, what do we think of the restaurant? Which isn't that basically what was going to be at Galaxy's Edge, and they're just going to put it on the Star Cruiser now?
I guess. I mean, it'll probably end up being, you know, half the size, just like the rooms are.
Yeah.
Was it going to be in Galaxy's Edge?
The food will be weird, too.
What's going to be more spacious, the Disney Wish or the Galactic Star Cruiser?
Wow, that's actually a pretty good question.
I think the Wish will have more space.
I think in general, no, I can't even say in general, because I bet the staterooms on the Wish, or even the smallest staterooom, is probably going to be bigger than that room we saw. Yeah. So,
how sad is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this, thus far, the Disney cruise ships, anytime they've made a newer one, they have increased the size of the staterooms, because they increased the size of the staterooms on the Dream and the Fantasy as compared to the Wonder and the Magic. Even the, you know, the least expensive inside staterooms were larger. They were larger than most cruise lines at the time that they built them. As a matter of fact, their staterooms were still among the largest up until recently. I think there's probably been some that's matched them at least since then. But I would imagine with the Wish, they're probably going to kind of take it as far as they can.
I guess this leads to another discussion about the potential future of this Star Cruiser hotel, or cruise ship in the sky, whatever you want to call it.
How do you pronounce the name of it, by the way? Is it Halcyon? Halcyon?
Yeah, Halcyon. Halcyon.
Halcyon?
The Halcyon. Okay. If this is a huge success, do you think they would try to build one in California and connect it to their Galaxy's Edge, or, you know, with a shuttle bus essentially running between?
Anything's possible.
Or would they build this anywhere in the country if they thought they would?
Build it on Mars.
Sure. Yeah. Is this the new Disney Quest, is my question. Are they going to try and build this in different cities?
No, I don't see that happening.
What opens first? The Star Cruiser or Space 220?
That's a good question. It might be this. They're definitely going to open this.
I think they've decided that they're going to open Space 220 on Mars. I think that's what it really is. There's what they're waiting on.
Yeah, I don't know. If this was a huge success, I think they would definitely try to build one in California, because they've got all that space that they were going to expand to. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. They could easily build this in one of those parking lots in front of Disneyland Hotel or whatever.
If we start colonizing Mars, who gets there first, Disney or Universal? God. Anyway.
Elon Musk gets there first, so he makes his own theme park.
He rivals.
Yeah, he makes his own Mars park. Okay. Well, if you look at your My Disney Experience app, you will see the Star Cruiser Hotel on it now. They show it on the app.
Oh, you mean this? Okay. It has its own little space.
Yep, it's on
I have
there.
Seen the model that they have. They have one on display at Hollywood Studios now of the Star Cruiser.
Right.
Or they did on May the 4th anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen pictures of the model. I mean, it looks fine. I wonder when are they going to start selling those, like, toy models of the ship. Anyway.
Oh, they'll start selling something the closer it gets to the actual opening date. Let's see. We said it's 2022. Did they think summer 2022, or they didn't specifically?
It just says 2022. I think that's they're leaving it open ending.
December 31st, 11:59
right,
p.m.
Right, basically. The only other story I had was about the lounge, where it looks like you could play Sabacc card games. So does that mean you can gamble actual money on this? Would you do it, Jason?
Can you potentially win the Falcon? Because
you could win your trip for free?
I would not on this. I would not gamble at the Star Cruiser Hotel.
It's probably going to be something like, you know, they don't really have gambling on the cruise ships, but they do have bingo, right, where you can win.
Right.
So it's kind of like their version of gambling. That's probably right. What they're going to do with Sabacc.
Yeah. First of all, I gotta learn how to actually play it, but because apparently you can play it. There are people that play it.
I kept thinking there was another Star Wars movie. There was another Star Wars story, I thought, but I can't seem to find it. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, there were several about the... there's a lot of little merchandise and things like that. I just didn't think it was that
interesting to the... Nothing real newsworthy. Understood. How about, did you see the estimated loss of Disneyland during their 13-month closure? We didn't mention that earlier.
$4.3 billion, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$4.3 billion.
Well, I mean, it's been closed for 14 months, was it, before it reopened?
13 months, they said, but I guess it was going on
14 and a half, something like
that. Yeah. It was going on it. Makes sense. At least they took that close time to make some improvements. Oh, by the way, they released just recently a 25% off for summer or late summer now discount.
Yeah, I saw that. I was surprised because it was not they didn't do Florida resident or pass holder that I saw. It was just a standard 25% for deluxe, 20 for moderate, and I think 15 for...
Did you go try and actually see some dates?
I did, yeah.
The rooms available were crap. I mean, I'm not saying that they were... They were discounting ones that, you know, were already super expensive in some cases.
That's kind of what they do nowadays, by the way.
Yeah. They're just discount the expensive rooms. They're not going to discount the ones that people really want to discount on.
Yeah. I looked around for some dates in July for Grandestino, and they were... The only tower rooms that I saw available at all were king bed tower rooms, and they were still about $280 a night, roughly. So
I didn't even see that. Of course, I was looking in September just because that was the latter end of it to see what people were doing.
They had plenty of outer building rooms for $200-ish a night in that range. So
I think probably the best thing I saw was Boardwalk for like $400 and something, if you want to consider that good.
I mean, nowadays, that's good.
I tell you something I saw recently. I saw a view, speaking of Boardwalk, I saw a view of a, you know, a room that's like a Boardwalk room. And I was like, man, that's something I'm going to need to put on the bucket list. I need to have a Boardwalk view room at some point.
Yeah. Back in the day, I always thought, would those be kind of loud, though, for a while?
Do you know, I looked as far as like what kind they have. There's really not that many that aren't like big rooms. As a matter of fact, the ones facing it, when I looked, I only saw two, literally only two villas that were studio.
Oh,
only two that faced the Boardwalk. Their others were like one bedroom and or more, like these grand suites.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a lot of rooms at all facing the Boardwalk. But
right. Yeah, it's not many. And there's none in the actual Boardwalk Inn. It's just the villa side.
Right, the villa side. Guess that. Yeah, I would love to go back there.
I thought that was kind of interesting. Do we want to talk about the VelociCoaster at all?
I mean, we can before we wrap up, sure. It looks really cool, really intense. What do you think?
The people I've seen, you know, that got to have gotten to ride it seem to be really impressed with it.
Yeah, it seems really well put together. The story that they've put for the queue and everything and the pre-show and everything looks cool.
I did see not too long before we got on the show that Kent got to ride it. Uh-huh. He said he still preferred Hagrid's, but he thought this was really good, but he still preferred Hagrid's over this.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of inversions in this one and two launches, so it's pretty fast and it seems like it's fairly intense. So I don't know how many people will get to ride this. I think the other thing that a lot of people were saying was the ride vehicle, the restraints and everything, how it was fairly different. Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, it's very different for this type of coaster, especially. Right. Like, there's no over-the-shoulder restraints.
Yeah, you would think with this many inversions it would be over-the-shoulder, but I think they're maximizing your airtime on this.
Must be some new age lap bars is the only thing I can think of.
Right.
One thing I thought that was pretty neat when I was looking at it is, like, in the queue line, there's a point where you go by one of the launches, right? And through the window, you see the the coaster go by, but then there's like these raptors that trail behind that chase after it. Mm. It was pretty cool the way that looked. Yeah. And the queue, you know, when they have the section with the raptors that are in the, like the harnesses where you pass by them, they look so realistic in the videos yeah. I've seen.
Right.
They really do.
Good, yeah. They did a good job with that.
Yeah.
So I asked this question in our chat, but I'll ask it on the show, which is, do we feel like this will draw any crowds away from Disney in the summer, or will it just people will start doing split stays and Disney will benefit from the opening of this ride as well?
I think, you know, there's most of the time there's people that come there, they're kind of doing both, if anything. If they're going to do... Right. They'll probably do Disney and Universal or just Disney. It's usually not the other way around. I mean, don't get me wrong, Universal has its fan base or its loyalists. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where people will work both in, like mostly. I think they both benefit overall.
Yeah, I don't think it'll drop Disney's crowds in the summer at all. There's too much pent-up demand.
The only thing that might happen is there might be people that are more apt to actually stay on Universal property because of the price versus staying on Disney property. That might change.
Yeah, if only.
Yeah, because Universal's hotels, usually you get more for less. I hate to say it that way, but you kind of do. Whereas over in Disney, it's like Ranch Wilder, ironically.
Okay. Well, I think I'm too old for this kind of ride. To be honest, the Velocicoaster, I think
you're too old for roller coasters now?
Intense
ones?
I don't seek out the intensity like I probably would have 10 years ago.
See, I look at it and I don't see it. I think it's not, I mean, it's obviously they make it somewhat intense. It's a thrilling, it's meant to be a thrill ride.
I think I would enjoy it, but I don't think I would want to do, I wouldn't go out of my way to do this a lot.
I find it hard to believe that anything they've made new recently could outdo the intensity of the Hulk anyway. The Hulk is super intense.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. I do like Jurassic Park, but, you know, I'm not.
See? Yeah. I would still do it, but, I mean, the Hulk, since I talked about it, that was the coaster, and it's been 8 years ago now, that when I rode it, I was like, you know what? I'm not as... enthusiastic about these things as I once was. Right. Yeah, and that was 8 years ago.
I mean, you get close to 40 and you're like, I don't need this in my life anymore. Right. I don't need thrills like this.
Anyway. I've only had one coaster that I've been on that made me feel weird, though, and I don't know what it was. It actually made me feel like dizzy or a little disoriented one time, and that was the Kraken at SeaWorld.
The Kraken.
Barnstormer, of course, does it every time. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Gotta have those vomit bags on Barnstormer.
Really makes your head spin.
I did the goat trick a couple of years ago on Big Thunder and messed me up for a couple hours. It's for young people only to do
the goat trick. Chasing the dragon, or chasing the goat in this case.
Yeah. It's just not, I'm too old for that now, too. All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap this episode up, I suppose.
Yeah. It was a lot of news, and you did a great job guiding us through it.
Yes. Well, thank you, Tom.
I was just looking at this. Do we care that valet parking is returning to the Walt Disney World Resort hotels?
No. Okay.
Who uses valet parking?
Or how about the Project Kiwi for the free-roaming Groot animatronic, which makes and maintains eye contact? You didn't see that one?
I saw it. It was cool.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I think it's fine.
How'd that one miss your list?
Let's wrap it up. We'll talk about it next week.
Anything else you want me to know?
No. Let's say, you can tell us where people can find us on the site.
Well, of course you can find us on social media. That is Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can find your exclusive Traveling with the Mouse merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. And as I didn't mention like I normally do, you will find the Rafts or a Ride shirt there as well. We also have a YouTube channel. You would also search TWTM podcast there to find the YouTube channel.
And you can go to our website, travelingwiththemouse.com, and visit there to get links to everything that we just mentioned. You can also email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And for John and for Jason, this has been Traveling with the Mouse. And we will see you on our next journey.
Smooth as always.
Yes.
Smooth as lumpy butter. No, I'm sorry.